Mimi Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
The sun may have set over our city this evening, but as Eugene Debs once said, I can see the dawn of a better day for humanity.
After running an historic campaign focused on affordability, Zohran Mamdani has defeated Andrew Cuomo in the New York mayoral race. The 34-year-old Democratic Socialist will become New York's first Muslim and first South Asian mayor and the youngest in a century. In his victory speech Tuesday night, Mamdani sent a defiant message to President Trump.
So hear me, President Trump, when I say this. To get to any of us, you will have to get through all of us.
We'll air excerpts of Mamdani's speech and hear from Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the writer Naomi Klein, and others who attended Mamdani's packed victory party. Plus, we look at how Democrats scored major victories, including in California, Virginia, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, in what's being described as a repudiation of the Trump agenda. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Democratic Socialist Zohran Mamdani was elected New York's mayor Tuesday, becoming the first person of South Asian descent and the first Muslim, and the youngest in over a century to hold the position. The election was marked by record voter turnout. Mamdani got more than a million votes, more than any mayor since the 1960s. President Trump had threatened to withhold funding from New York City if Mamdani won. On Election Day, Trump even posted, "Any Jewish person who votes for Mamdani is stupid." Last night at his victory party in Brooklyn, Mamdani directly addressed President Trump.
This is not only how we stop Trump, it's how we stop the next one. So, Donald Trump, since I know you're watching, I have four words for you. Turn the volume up. New York will remain a city of immigrants, a city built by immigrants. Led by an immigrant.
Zohran Mamdani's victory comes as Democrats posted big wins across the country on Election Day. In California, voters approved a new congressional map that could help Democrats pick up five additional seats in Congress in a move to counter Texas's redistricting effort to gain five House seats. In New Jersey, Democratic Congressmember Mikey Sherrill won the governor's race. In Virginia, Democrats reclaimed full control of the state's executive branch as Abigail Spanberger flipped the governorship, becoming the state's first female governor. Voters also chose Ghazala Hashmi to be Virginia's lieutenant governor-elect, making her the first Muslim woman elected to statewide office anywhere in the United States. Meanwhile, Democrat Jay Jones defeated Virginia's incumbent Republican attorney general. In Pennsylvania, Democrats retained control of the state Supreme Court after three Democratic justices won their races. In Minneapolis, Democratic Mayor Jacob Frey led Democratic Socialist challenger Omar Fateh, but neither got more than half the vote. So the race moves to a second round of ranked choice voting. We'll have more on last night's election results after headlines. The federal government shutdown has entered its 36th day, becoming the longest shutdown in U.S. history. On Tuesday, the Senate rejected a House-passed funding bill for the 14th time as Democrats demand an extension to health insurance premium tax credits under the Affordable Care Act. A recent report by the Kaiser Family Foundation found allowing the subsidies to expire would more than double the average enrollee's out-of-pocket premium payments, with some people seeing even larger increases of over 500%. On Tuesday, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy warned the U.S. could be forced to close vast swaths of U.S. airspace due to severe shortages of air traffic controllers, about 11,000 of whom have gone without pay throughout the shutdown. Duffy cautioned of mass chaos at airports if the shutdown continues for another week. Mere hours after Duffy's comments, a UPS freight plane crashed at a Louisville, Kentucky airport, killing at least 7 people, leaving 11 others injured. Meanwhile, President Trump Tuesday appeared to defy federal court orders in a social media post in which he proclaimed SNAP food assistance benefits, quote, will be given only when the radical left Democrats open up government, which they can easily do, and not before, unquote. That's despite orders from 2 separate federal judges mandating the administration keep funding SNAP, which helps some 42 million people purchase groceries each month. On Tuesday's lawyers for cities and nonprofits returned to court seeking an order forcing the Trump administration to pay SNAP benefits rapidly and in full. This is Dalitya Chung, a SNAP recipient in Maryland who predicted any further delays could lead to civil unrest.
They ask them for trouble because people got children to feed, you know, and people know people will go off on that. Now, I don't know if anybody trying to declare martial law under stuff like that, but you can send off a lot of huge problems. People have to eat.
In the Gaza Strip, Israel's military is targeting eastern areas, Khan Yunis and Gaza City, with intense artillery fire, despite the U.S. brokered ceasefire that took effect nearly a month ago. The shelling's targeting farms, homes and other civilian areas. It comes as a U.N. official warned aid groups are in a race against time to get food and other necessities into Gaza. According to the Norwegian Refugee Council, Israeli authorities have rejected 23 requests from 9 aid groups to bring in millions of urgently needed non-food items that remain stuck in Jordan, Egypt, and Israel awaiting approval. That includes some 4,000 pallets of shelter supplies such as tents, bedding, and blankets. This is Manal Salem, a Palestinian mother of 7 whose family is displaced and living in a tattered tent in Khan Yunis.
Winter, we do not want to talk about winter because the fears are very big. Our tents are completely worn out. We are unable. We do not know what to do. It is not just me. Most of the tents at the school are worn out. We just say, God have mercy on us for the winter. As much as we used to pray for rain to come, now we pray that rain does not come so that we do not struggle.
Earlier today, Israel handed over the remains of 15 Palestinians a day after Hamas returned the body of an Israeli-American soldier. That brings the total number of Palestinian bodies returned to Gaza as part of the ceasefire to 285, just a fraction of what's believed to be more than 1,500 bodies held by Israel. Meanwhile, the Trump administration's drafted a UN Security Council resolution seeking a mandate of at least 2 years for an international stabilization force to be deployed in Gaza. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned in response that any such force must have, quote, full international legitimacy, unquote. The United Nations top official has warned Sudan's civil war is spiraling out of control after the Rapid Support Forces paramilitary group seized control of the city of El Fasher in Sudan's North Darfur region. On Tuesday, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned hundreds of thousands of civilians remain trapped by fighting, with large numbers dying of malnutrition, disease, and violence. Guterres cited reports of war crimes and human rights abuses, including summary executions and sexual assaults. Survivors who fled al-Fashir reported mass killings following the RSF's advance.
Once you leave the gates, the bodies start. The bodies continue all the way to Gari. Some were killed by thirst, some by exhaustion, some by their injuries, the bleeding. Some were injured by the rockets in al-Fashir. They hurt more than gunshots, the shrapnel. They get into your body. They cause your legs to swell, stop your blood flow. It exhausts you. It impacts you within 2 or 3 hours.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says the U.S. has bombed another boat in the eastern Pacific Ocean. On Tuesday, Hegseth claimed without evidence the latest attack targeted a boat ferrying drugs, killing 2 people on board. If the Pentagon's claims are accurate, that would bring the number of vessels attacked to 16 and the death toll to at least 67. This comes as the Pentagon's deploying its largest warship, the USS Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier, to join a buildup of U.S. forces in the Caribbean. The Trump administration's drafted plans to deploy U.S. troops and intelligence officers to Mexico to attack drug labs and narco-trafficking leaders. That's according to NBC News, citing current and former U.S. officials. On Tuesday, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum denied the reports, declaring it's not going to happen.
First of all, it would be a violation of our sovereignty and our independence. And second, we can collaborate, we can coordinate, but it's not about the United States coming to say or to intervene or to have their agents, because that didn't work either.
And a new UN environment report warns nations have made very little progress in the fight against climate change, putting the world on track toward dangerous global warming as greenhouse gas emissions remain too high. The UN's annual emissions gap report suggests countries will not be able to prevent global warming from surpassing 1.5 degrees Celsius, which is the main goal of the Paris Agreement that was brokered a decade ago. UN experts say warming is likely to reach between 2.3 and 2.5 degrees Celsius, with the possibility of even higher temperatures if countries don't fulfill their current climate pledges. This is Interim Director of the UN Environment Program, Anne Allhoff.
Well, it's a guarantee that unless we do things very differently from what we have been doing in the past many years, we will not see an overshoot of 1.5 degrees. We'll see a permanent breach of 1.5 degrees. So it's really about making as stringent and as quick cuts as possible overall.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. On Tuesday, Democrats won major victories across the United States, including in California, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and here in New York, in what's widely being seen as a repudiation of President Trump's agenda. In the most closely watched race, Zohran Mamdani won the New York mayoral race, defeating former Governor Andrew Cuomo. The 34-year-old Democratic Socialist State Assembly member will become the first Muslim and first South Asian to serve as New York mayor. In June, he shocked the political establishment when he beat Cuomo in the Democratic primary. Cuomo went on to run in the general election as an independent, but on Tuesday, Mamdani defeated him again. A year ago, Mamdani was polling at just 1%. But he built a historic grassroots coalition to fuel what Senator Bernie Sanders has called, quote, one of the great political upsets in modern American history, unquote. On Tuesday, Zohran Mamdani became the first New York mayoral candidate to win over 1 million votes since the 1960s, more than Rudy Giuliani or Mike Bloomberg ever received. Mamdani has received 50.4% of the votes counted so far. Cuomo's at 41.6%. Republican Curtis Sliwa's at 7.1%. Mamdani won even though many prominent Democrats, including Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, the New York senator, refused to endorse him. Mamdani was also vastly outspent by Cuomo, who's backed by a group of billionaires. President Trump endorsed Cuomo and repeatedly threatened to cut off federal funds to New York if Mamdani won. On Tuesday night, Zohran Mamdani addressed supporters who packed into the Brooklyn Paramount. He began his speech by quoting the late labor leader and socialist Eugene Debs.
The sun may have set over our city this evening, but as Eugene Debs once said, I can see the dawn of a better day for humanity. For as long as we can remember, the working people of New York have been told by the wealthy and the well-connected that power does not belong in their hands. Fingers bruised from lifting boxes on the warehouse floor, palms calloused from delivery bike handlebars, knuckles scarred with kitchen burns. These are not hands that have been allowed to hold power. And yet, over the last 12 months, you have dared to reach for something greater. Tonight, against all odds, we have grasped it. The future is in our hands. My friends, we have toppled a political dynasty. Cuomo, only the best in private life. But let tonight be the final time I utter his name as we turn the page on a politics that abandons the many and answers only to the few. New York, tonight you have delivered. A mandate for change. A mandate for a new kind of politics. A mandate for a city we can afford. And a mandate for a government that delivers exactly that. On January 1st, I will be sworn in as the mayor of New York City. So before I say anything else, I must say this. Thank you. Thank you to the next generation of New Yorkers who refuse to accept that the promise of a better future was a relic of the past. You showed that when politics speaks to you without condescension, we can usher in a new era of leadership. We will fight for you because we are you. Or as we say on Steinway, ana minkum wa ilaykum. Thank you to those so often forgotten by the politics of our city who made this movement their own. I speak of Yemeni bodega owners and Mexican abuelas, Senegalese taxi drivers and Uzbek nurses, Trinidadian line cooks and Ethiopian aunties. Yes, aunties. To every New Yorker in Kensington and Midwood and Hunts Point, know this, this city is your city, and this democracy is yours too. This campaign is about people like Wesley, an 1199 organizer I met outside of Elmhurst Hospital on Thursday night. New Yorker who lives elsewhere, who commutes 2 hours each way from Pennsylvania because rent is too expensive in this city. It's about people like the woman I met on the BX33 years ago, who said to me, I used to love New York, but now it's just where I live. And it's about people like Richard, the taxi driver I went on a 15-day hunger strike with outside of City Hall, who still has to drive his cab 7 days a week. My brother, we are in City Hall now. Standing before you, I think of the words of Jawaharlal Nehru. A moment comes but rarely in history when we step out from the old to the new, when an age ends and when the soul of a nation long suppressed finds utterance. Tonight we have stepped out from the old into the new. So let us speak now with clarity and conviction that cannot be misunderstood about what this new age will deliver and for whom. This will be an age where New Yorkers expect from their leaders a bold vision of what we will achieve, rather than a list of excuses for what we are too timid to attempt. Central to that vision will be the most ambitious agenda to tackle the cost of living crisis that this city has seen since the days of Fiorella LaGuardia. An agenda that will freeze the rents for more than 2 million rent-stabilized tenants. Together, we will usher in a generation of change. And if we embrace this brave new course, rather than fleeing from it, we can respond to oligarchy and authoritarianism with the strength it fears, not the appeasement it craves. After all, if anyone can show a nation betrayed by Donald Trump how to defeat him, it is the city that gave rise to him. And if there is any way to terrify a despot, it is by dismantling the very conditions that allowed him to accumulate power. This is not only how we stop Trump, it's how we stop the next one. So, Donald Trump, since I know you're watching, I have 4 words for you. Turn the volume up. Taking advantage of their tenants. We will put an end to the culture of corruption that has allowed billionaires like Trump to evade taxation and exploit tax breaks. We will stand alongside unions and expand labor protections because we know, just as Donald Trump does, that when working people have ironclad rights, the bosses who seek to extort them become very small indeed. New York will remain a city of immigrants, a city built by immigrants, powered by immigrants. And as of tonight, led by an immigrant. To get to any of us, you will have to get through all of us. When we enter City Hall in 58 days, expectations will be high. We will meet them. A great New Yorker once said that while you campaign in poetry, you govern in prose. If that must be true, let the prose we write still rhyme, and let us build a shining city for all. And we must chart a new path, as bold as the one we have already traveled. After all, the conventional wisdom would tell you that I am far from the perfect candidate. I am young, despite my best efforts to grow older. I am Muslim. I am a democratic socialist. And most damning of all, I refuse to apologize for any of this.
Zoran Mamdani speaking at his victory party Tuesday night at the Brooklyn Paramount after he won the New York City mayoral race, defeating former Governor Andrew Cuomo. After his speech, he was joined on stage by his wife, Rama Dwaji, and his parents, the filmmaker Mira Nair and Columbia University professor Mahmoud Mamdani. Coming up, we hear from New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the writer Naomi Klein, city controller Brad Lander, and many others at Mamdani's victory party. Stay with us. Featuring our very own archivist, Brendan Allen. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We're continuing our coverage of Zoran Mamdani's historic victory in the New York mayoral race over former Governor Andrew Cuomo. On Tuesday night, Democracy Now! Was at Mamdani's victory party at the historic Brooklyn Paramount. More than 1,000 people packed in. We spoke to just a few of his supporters.
My name is Sumaya Awad, and I'm a member of New York City DSA. Woo, woo, woo! And I am, to say I'm excited and ecstatic and relieved is an understatement. I mean, we have fought so hard for this right before the primary, and then now in the last couple of months and last couple of weeks, and today I've been canvassing since 9 a.m. and I feel exhausted, but it's the best kind of exhausted, because it's exhaustion from something I believe in with every fiber of my body, and that I know that the majority of New Yorkers believe in, and we haven't felt that. I haven't felt that in my lifetime.
Tell us what it is you believe in.
It's a politician and an agenda that is truly for working class people, and one that doesn't put the platform and the mission at the expense of anyone. He has not left anyone out of what he is fighting for, and he's made it clear, whether you support him or not, he is fighting for us.
What'd you say?
NBC just called in for Zoran.
What do you think?
I'm so happy. I've been awake since 4:30 in the morning today, out canvassing in Park Slope and Prospect Heights, and we've been working towards this for a year, and I'm just so happy to win the New York City that we deserve.
What's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Harrison, and I'm thrilled. We've been canvassing since January, and it's so happy to see all of our work pay off.
It feels surreal that it's actually actually here and that it's happening. Yeah, it's